This is Klaus Holm. Author's note. I would like to thank the following people for helping in various ways with this season. Lars Voldsgaard Jensen, for the idea that victories in online roleplay could be used as merit for supernatural powers. This was the concept that made Matt possible. Fie Finman, Marlene Gran, Charlotte Frobenius, Grete Kildegård Nielsen, for beta reading and feedback along the way. Simone Lindquist and Wolfram McWolferson, for editorial duties and encouragement. Matt Krieger, for showing me San Francisco and opening his home to me, as well as being one of the many Captain Blue at the 826 Valencia store. This is a real place, and if you're looking for a good charity in the Bay Area, look them up. Stefan Key Nielsen, for post-production, cover work, and layout. I'm so glad you came back for this one. It wouldn't have been the same to end this series without you. And finally, you, dear reader. This would all be for nothing if you weren't reading. This book was written in San Francisco, Copenhagen, Aarhus, and Molivos on Lesvos, where the staff of Molly's Bar provided enormous encouragement during the writing of the last episode. I've enjoyed every single second of the journey with Jim and his friends, and I hope you've enjoyed this last trip as well. Will Tempest Investigations ever be back? Hard to say. Right now, I've told the stories I wanted to tell. But, as a guy with pointy ears, from a very famous TV show, which got cancelled after 3 seasons, and eventually spawned an entire franchise of shows, books, cartoons, and movies, once said, there are always possibilities.
Deleted scene, the gorilla. This scene was cut from the episode The Eyes of a Child in Season 2. It would be placed on page 107, and was cut because it seemed to take up too much time before Jim and Mercedes found Huyana. It also seemed slightly superfluous, and mostly played for laughs. Hence, it was cut. Nope. If she was here, she's long gone. But I'm betting she's still somewhere in the zoo. What sort of animals are kids most into?
Aside from penguins, you mean?
Mercedes said, cocking her thumb at them.
I don't know. I was always partial to koala bears myself.
Well, it's a place to start. Do you know where they keep those in here?
Mercedes didn't have time to reply before a huffing sound came from behind them. Jim turned his head and froze. A large gorilla had appeared from behind a cluster of bushes on the path they'd come from. It was holding a large basket of popcorn and was busy examining them before sticking them in its mouth a handful at a time. It stood almost 6 feet tall, and its large muscular arms were covered in thick black fur. Jim's hand crept to his gun, but remembered what Mercedes had said, not to mention that his gun would probably not be able to kill the gorilla with one shot and might only annoy it.
Back away, he whispered to Mercedes.
Where exactly? Do you want me to jump into the penguin pool?
If need be. At least the penguins aren't going to try and kill you.
It's busy eating. Maybe if we just walk away quietly, it's just going to leave us alone.
Good plan. Let's try that. Move off. I'll distract it if it moves.
Jim pulled the gun out of his shoulder holster.
What did I just say about not hurting the...
Relax, I'm not going to kill it. At worst, hurt it. But only if it comes after you. Now go, move. I'll be right behind you.
Mercedes began walking slowly, at first keeping her eyes on the gorilla. But when she'd gotten far enough around the penguin island, she turned her head forward again. She knew she was close to both the lion enclosure and the rhino, and didn't want to walk into one of them by accident. Jim gave her a few seconds of head start before following her just as slowly. He wished he'd been able to teleport like Rhea and could have gotten Mercedes the hell out of here. When they'd gotten far enough away from the gorilla, which had barely looked up from its popcorn, Jim wiped his forehead, this time from more than just the heat.
So, koalas, you say?
Yeah, they're to our left. But to get to them, we're going to pass the Komodo dragons. They're pretty dangerous, or so I remember from biology.
I hope that this zoo keeps the animals fed enough that they're not about to go hunting.
Okay, let's... From his right came the sound of laughter. A young girl's laughter. Deleted scene. Huyana and Andrew at the wedding. Another cut scene from Mission's End and the wedding. I actually liked the idea quite a bit, and I felt that Huyana should be in the wedding so she'd at least pop up again this season. I'd kept her away simply because she was too powerful. Had she been there, and Jim and his friends simply wished to be teleported to Maurice's hiding place much earlier in the story, or maybe wished for Maurice to be locked up in another dimension, just like Anderson Kramer was in season 2, the season would have been over quickly.
When I finally finished the episode, it just didn't seem to fit in, so I ended up cutting it.
Andrew was watching the dancers when he noticed a little girl walking along the buffet. She stared long and hard at the bottles displayed there before reaching for one of them, and while she reached, it changed shape and color to become an Arizona iced tea. Andrew got to his feet in a hurry.
Huyana?
He said. The girl turned around, her face lighting up.
Hey!
What are you doing here? Andrew said, kneeling down to get into eye level with her. I don't think Mercedes invited you. This is a grown-up party.
No, she didn't.
The girl shook her head, making her dark hair brush back and forth over her shoulders. Andrew couldn't help but notice that she had it cut in the same style as Mercedes.
But she wrote me a text saying she was getting married, so I wanted to tell her congratulations.
Andrew smiled. I'm sure she'll be very pleased. But she's dancing with Charlie right now. See? He pointed to Mercedes and Charlie. Huyana looked at them for a moment.
He's nice. She can marry him.
She already did. That's why we're partying now. The girl sat on one of the chairs. She still needed a boost from Andrew to get all the way up, however.
By the way, I wanted to thank you, Andrew said. For what?
For making Feline call me.
Huyana looked a little puzzled.
Did I do that? I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. It meant a lot, so thank you.
You're very welcome,
Huyana smiled and patted his hand.
That's what you're supposed to say when someone thanks you, you know?
Yes, I know. Let me see if I can flag Mercedes, okay?
Andrew got to his feet and tried catching Mercedes' eyes. This was a bit difficult since she was dancing with Charlie, her head on his shoulder and her eyes closed.
Wait here, honey, he told Huyana, and took a few steps out to the dance floor.
Hey, Mercedes!
Mercedes opened her eyes.
What? There's someone here who wants to congratulate you.
He cocked a thumb over his shoulder.
Huyana, all the way from Arizona. I'm reminded of the 13th fairy who wasn't invited to the party.
Oh, come on,
Mercedes said, letting go of Charlie.
She'd never do something like that. Where is she?
Andrew led them to the chair where Huyana waited, her iced tea in hand. She lit up when Mercedes came into view. Mercedes embraced the girl, who squealed with joy, and took a look at her dress.
How come your dress is all ruined?
She asked.
I was...
Mercedes thought about how to say it for a moment.
I was in a fight with a bad guy. Did you win?
Huyana said.
Yes, we did.
That's good. although you're not supposed to fight. At least that's what Luyu says.
Sometimes you have to fight, though. Remember the bad man in the spirit world? We had to fight him.
Was this bad guy worse?
Huyana asked. Mercedes and Andrew looked at each other.
I don't know if he was worse, but he was just as bad, that's for sure.
Charlie appeared behind Mercedes, noticed Huyana, and gave a smile that had a little bit of trepidation in it. He was a little scared of the powerful girl.
Hi there, he said.
Hello and congratulations on your wedding,
Huyana said, in an obviously rehearsed line.
Thank you, Charlie said.
I brought you a present,
Huyana said, reaching for her backpack, which none of them had noticed until now.
And I didn't make her, I promise. She's from our own litter.
She opened the backpack and pulled out a small white kitten. The kitten gave a soft mewling sound, like it had just been woken up. It looked to be about 6 or 7 weeks old.
This is new Feline, Huyana said. I thought you needed a new pretty kitty.
Mercedes saw Andrew's face take on a strange expression, from hurt to love to grief.
Thank you, honey. I love it.
Mercedes took the little kitten.
Maybe we ought to put it somewhere, huh? So it won't be bothered by the party?
Good idea,
Huyana smiled.
I better get back home, though. They don't like it when I leave without saying goodbye. They got really mad the last time.
Thank you, Huyana. You hurry home, and we'll talk when I come back from our honeymoon, okay?
Mercedes said. The girl waved, put the bottle down on the table, and vanished into thin air.
Well, that was a surprise, Charlie said. I've never had a cat before. What are we going to do with it when we leave for Hawaii?
I'll look after it, Andrew said. Don't worry.
Do you want me to put her away for you?
Sure.
Mercedes handed him the kitten, and she and Charlie slid back on the floor.
Thank you.
Andrew looked at the white kitten, its tiny eyes returning the gaze.
New Feline, he whispered. Hello, New Feline. I'm Andrew.
Deleted scene. Bob and Martin at the wedding. This scene was cut from the wedding scene in the last episode, Mission's End. It was cut simply because I'd written a moment for all the couples at the wedding reception, and it became a lot of romance in relatively few pages. My editor and I talked a little bit about what couple to cut, and this one ended up being the one. It's not a bad scene or a bad wrap-up for the two characters. It was just that it seemed a little unnecessary. It would have been placed right between Jim and Rhea's talk of the Greek island and Matt and Isabella asking Matt if he's Australian. On the other side of the dance floor, Bob and Martin were dancing. Bob's tail was resting on one shoulder to avoid anyone stepping on it. Martin had his arms around him as they swayed to the music.
So, how do you think I did? Bob asked.
On stage, you mean? You need some practice. But I think you could be good at it. I could help you put together a kind of promotional material for the club if you want. Something to tell people you can do this.
Advertise for Convergence Club?
Bob whistled.
Now that's an idea. To be honest, I always just relied on word of mouth.
We don't even have a rating on Yelp yet. And maybe that would be pushing it, Martin said.
But I mean, all your special friends, they need to know about the services you provide. Marriage packages, overnight package in the apartment, maybe expand the menu and serve some food?
I suppose so.
Bob looked at Martin. If you'd be interested in helping me out with it.
Of course I will. But on one condition.
What's that?
I want you to come down to 526 Valencia.
I think you'd make one hell of a Captain Blue.
But don't you think the kids will be scared of...
He gestured at his face and the tail.
That's the beauty of it. No one ever sees Captain Blue. He sits upstairs and it's just his voice you hear. I think you'd be perfect for it.
Bob smiled again.
Okay, it's a deal. I'll prepare to set sail for the high seas, Captain.
Shiver me timbers, Martin said, laughing, and kissed him on his red lips.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.